comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you decided to be here at the show, and I appreciate it. And I'm going to do my best to make sure you enjoy your time here this evening. It's going to be interesting, and I think certainly profitable for the little gray cells. You know, here on the show, we discuss topics, we discuss concepts that I guess a lot of people around the world would consider a bit avant-garde, perhaps a bit way beyond the edge, around the corner, maybe a little bit nutty. But I, especially if you are a new listener, if you haven't been listening to this show for very long, I want you to consider something. 100% of everything that you take for granted as a scientific fact, 100% of it was at one time considered avant-garde, beyond the edge, around the corner, and maybe a little bit nutty. I mean, just the simplest scientific facts, like the Earth is round. It's not flat. It's a ball. That simple scientific fact was considered, number one, very much around the corner, way beyond the edge, nutty, loony, and a heresy against God Almighty. All the persecution that was heaped upon that particular scientific mind, all of the pressure, all of the ridicule, and as I said, the persecution, didn't change the fact, did it? They were wrong, he was right. And that's the way these concepts are, that's the way these topics are. I guarantee you, within just a few years, some of the things that we talk about that a lot of people think are around the corner, nutty, things that the rational minds of today ridicule, I guarantee you some of those things will be established scientific fact within just a very few years. And that means they will have displaced some of this scientific knowledge that we have now. Now, what this means for you and what this means for me and everybody else on this tiny little blue ball floating through space is that a great deal of what we think are scientific facts today are truly fiction. Just like that one that was a scientific fact, you know, that said the Earth is flat. Fiction. A lot of what we think we know is fiction. So we discover, we explore, and we move around a lot of the topics that a lot of the shows fear to deal with. We're going to do it again tonight. We'll be back. Thank you. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guests, I have two of them. My guests this evening are Sam Maranto and Brandon Tudor. And, you know, I've done two shows now about weird stuff happening in the skies. Well, I've done a lot of shows about that. But the theme being aerial phenomena, two of them having to do with aerial phenomena over Phoenix, Arizona. But tonight takes us far away from Phoenix, Arizona, and aerial phenomena. Again, it's happening everywhere. So let me welcome my guest, Sam. Welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure.
And Brandon, welcome to the show for the very first time.
And it's a pleasure myself. Thank you.
All right. You know, Sam, I'm going to do my best this time not to die on the air. For those who don't know what we're talking about, several weeks ago, I had an episode while I was on the air. I had a health episode where I really didn't think I was going to make it, and I actually blacked out as we went to break on one break, and came to just as the break was ending, and it was tough. I'm telling you, it was really, really tough. Apparently a diabetic situation, and I did not know I was diabetic, but that's what it was. And but I'm okay now. So I'll try to stay with you, Sam.
Well, you had me scared.
I was a little concerned myself when I was conscious. I was a little bit concerned myself. And for those who remember that night, you may remember that if you were watching us on TV, we cut away to just a still slide, a picture of something, quite frequently, and left it that way for most of the show. That's so you couldn't see me putting cold water in my face trying to stay alive. Anyway, that's done. That's behind us. And let me say also that some of you are wondering, if you're watching, well, why is he wearing headphones tonight? He hasn't been wearing headphones in a long time. And I got to tell you, the reason is there are multiple things I had to do to get that audio back. And we're still not there, but the audio quality was just, well, it sucked like a Hoover. And so I had to do some things to get the audio quality back. Welcome to everyone listening to the Kevin Smith Show over Indy 104 out in Los Angeles and FM 105.7 in New Orleans. Welcome to everyone listening to us in Memphis and all over Pennsylvania and the rest of the world. Yes, we have stations elsewhere, and I'll get to them on another night. But thank you for listening. We're glad you're here. Sam and Brandon, let me get us all up to speed here and make sure we're on the same page. There has been some recent UFO activity out in Phoenix, Arizona. In addition to the fact that there's been some recent UFO activity in Phoenix, Arizona, there was a missile launch in the Phoenix area, in the desert just outside of Phoenix, last Thursday. That was confirmed to the local, TV news reporter. It was confirmed by the National Guard out there that, in fact, there was a launch, but they would not comment further. So there was a missile launch. One of the people who was a witness to that was an excellent witness. He's retired from the U.S. Space Command, NORAD, working in Cheyenne Mountain as one of five people who track every, when he was working, tracked everything leaving Earth going into space, everything in space coming down to Earth. That was his job. He was one of five people who did that. Excellent witness. And some of the debunkers immediately jumped up and said, it was probably somebody's hobby rocket. And his attitude was, no, I know missiles. I know missile launches. That was a missile, and he was right. It was. But an unusual missile in that he said it looked to him to be about the size of a Boeing 727, and it had swept-back wings. And he said you don't put wings on something unless you plan on bringing it back into the atmosphere and landing it. So he wasn't sure what it was and suggested perhaps it's some kind of new secret space plane.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Now, Brandon, we've got your picture up on my website. Not a picture of you, but the picture that you took of what you saw in the skies. And we want to get that story, and we'll get Sam into the mix here in just a moment. So, Brandon, you and your 10-year-old daughter are out. Where did this happen, and then what happened?
Well, to start with, we were driving west on Route 30, where Oswego meets Montgomery.
Okay, well, you're going to have to tell people what state that's in.
That's in Illinois, sorry about
okay.
that. Oswego, Illinois, and then heading toward Montgomery, Illinois, on Route 30. And as we're driving west, my daughter notices something up in the sky, and I look up just in time to see a flaming object, as it appears to be going out, as I whip my phone, which happened to be on my lap, off to take a picture. It looks like the flame actually goes out, and the object seemed to pull up, like from about a 45-degree drop, pull up about 15 degrees, like it was correcting its and I mean, at first I thought, well, it must be a meteor or something like that coming down to Earth, and there was even supposed to be green meteor showers falling at the time. But when I saw it actually pull off, it just, as an amateur, I don't know that much about meteors, but I would assume they don't generally correct their flight path. So obviously I took the picture and we're looking at it, and you could still see the smoke from where the object was, even after the object itself disappeared. And I was driving through her neighborhood and we're looking at this just like completely awestruck by the mark that it left in the sky and how low it appears to be to the ground. And I was dropping her off at her mom's house, and we walked through the house and, like, looked out the back, and you could still see the smoke. It was, like, dissipating in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
When you look closer at the picture, as Sam had actually pointed out to me, it appears that the smoke coming down looks like it's actually spiraling. But when we're looking at it, I didn't know this at the time. I just saw the thing falling down. I saw the object itself look like a black, like, sphere object pull off. And when I got back in my car to drive away, and I noticed the plane happened to be flying in. And as I was driving my car out of the subdivision, I noticed there were two planes that actually were flying right where the object was, circled around as I was pulling out of the subdivision to drive away. And it seemed like they were either looking for the object or trying to figure out, like, where it landed, if it happened to hit the ground. I wasn't sure of either of which until I got several responses on this particular object and reports that somebody had thought that they saw it hit where it would have hit, because the military had closed down the road and it looked like they were searching for something, which they thought at the time was a prisoner.
Okay, now, the planes that you saw in the air, describe the planes for us. What kind of planes were they?
I could pretty much tell you they weren't passenger planes, not only because they looked like passenger planes, but because they also turned around in a very short area. I'm pretty sure they can't do that. I don't know that much about planes myself, so I can't tell you, like, what type of plane it was, whether or not it was military.
Was it a jet? Was it a single-engine private aircraft? What was it?
No, it was a jet. It was flying very fast, and it pulled a sharp turn for a plane, but not sharp enough to be, like, a small, like, individual flying plane.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like something that came in very fast from out of sight, was able to circle around, look for it, and then, as I was driving away, I don't know if they went out of sight or if I just drove away far enough where I didn't see them.
Okay, now, you said you found out that the military had closed down some roadways?
There was military and police personnel. Like, I had actually made a personal, like, observation guess is where if that object had hit the ground, that's where I guessed it would have been. And right where I guessed where it would have landed, two towns over, west of where I guessed where it would have landed, is where somebody had told me at that time at around 5:55, it was around p.m., and they said around 6 o'clock, 6:15-ish, the road was closed down, and they looked like they were searching for something, but he assumed that they were searching for, like, an escaped prisoner or something like that. But the military and the police had closed down the roads and would not let people drive by. They were searching in a forest for something.
Well, that's pretty curious. I'm not aware of the military going out and searching for meteors.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, if there's a fireball in the sky and people are reporting it to the police are going to go out and look around and see what is it so they can report back to the people. You know, it's not anything to worry about. Or if it is something to worry about, they report it to appropriate people other than themselves, like the Air Force or something like that. Sam and Brandon, I found out some things. You know, I talk to people all the time, and I found out a few things about the inner workings of this UFO thing. Nothing that's top secret, but it's interesting information. You know, when the Air Force says we're not investigating UFOs anymore, they're right. You know why? You know who does it? NORAD. Now, I didn't learn that from my guest yesterday. I tried to, but he wouldn't talk about that. I found that out elsewhere today. NORAD is not U.S. government.
No.
NORAD was a creature created by an international treaty between the U.S. and Canada. As such, it is not subject to the Freedom of Information laws in either country.
100% correct.
And so a lot of this stuff is not even classified. A lot of it that is classified as secret rather than top secret or cosmic top secret or any of that stuff. A lot of it's just there, not classified, and doesn't have to be because they don't have to release it under Freedom of Information. They are not answerable to the people of Canada or the U.S. They are answerable to themselves and to the treaty. That's it. And that's who investigates this stuff. And so the military, when they go out, or the Air Force, when they go out, they don't go out and recover downed UCTs. That's an uncorrelated target. They don't go out and recover what we call UFOs. What they do is they let the local police check it out. If it is something that is exotic, then they come in and stand by until the appropriate authorities come and take control of it. And the appropriate authority is a unit of the Department of Defense. And that unit, nobody even knows where its headquarters are. No agency of the government even knows its headquarters.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In our role.
So that's why it's so hard to get disclosure. Because all of the people we're knocking on their door trying to get disclosure actually don't have the information. It's NORAD and this particular department agency or unit, actually, in the Department of Defense. All right, so you said this was a black sphere?
Yeah.
How big?
Originally on fire. Well, that's the thing. Without having something in the sky to compare it to, I can't tell you how big it was. Now, if I am correct, and the planes that flew by were flying in the same area that that object was, I would assume they're around the same size. The object may be being a little bit smaller than the plane.
Okay, so it was not a small object then.
No. Where it was at, like everybody says, that, you know, meteors and whatnot will burn up before they hit the ground, and I've learned that since I was a little child, but where it was at in the atmosphere, I don't personally believe it would have had time to burn up before it hit the ground. It would have already been close enough that whatever size that I saw is the size of the object that would have hit the ground.
Okay, now, it's pretty interesting here because when we look at this picture that was published by the newspaper, or it was published actually online, we look at this photograph, and you took this photograph with your phone. When we look at it, we see, you know, this dark streak of smoke, and it does look kind of corkscrewed and spirally. Right at the head of that smoke, there is a, looks like a burst of flame. And then a little bit beyond that, with no smoke behind it, there's another light. There's another something that's light. Is that the object?
No, see, that's the thing. The object in front of it, like, I would say, like, 15 degrees lower and to the left.
Yeah.
That object, I never actually saw with my eyes. I saw that object in the picture that I had taken after the fact.
Uh-huh.
The object that I saw was where the flame was.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can see, like, the red streak. In front of that, the object came out, like, right after I snapped the picture. Like, it went, like, the flame, like, dissipated. It pulled up. The other object looked like it's falling below it. This object looked like it pulled up. Like, either something broke off of it before it was able to correct its path, or I don't know if that object was related behind it in front of it, or if it was actually a piece of it.
So what do you think it is? You think this is a missile, or do you think this is a UFO? What is this?
I mean, originally, I thought it was a controlled object, and like my mind automatically assumed that it was being controlled within the object. Now, missiles, from what I understand, can be controlled as well. So I couldn't tell you whether or not it was a missile or an object. I can tell you that the object that I saw that flew in front of it wasn't shaped like what I would assume a missile would look like. It was more spherical.
Okay, now when we say sphere, we're talking about like a basketball.
Like a basketball, but one that, like, you know how if you spun a basketball or a rubber ball really quickly and it kind of, like, pulls out on the sides a little bit?
Okay.
It was a little bit longer in the front and back, but more spherical, like more like a basketball.
Okay. And black in color. Was it a shiny black or was it a flat black?
Without speculating, I mean, honestly, I can't tell you if it was shiny or if it was like black. I just saw black. And it was really quick. You have to understand, like, when I saw this, I was driving down the road and I saw the object and I saw it pull out while I was, you know, right after taking the picture. I can't tell you the shininess of the object itself. Like, I just can't remember. Or I don't know if I even saw it long enough to distinctly be able to tell you.
Did this have any kind of leave any kind of an impression on your daughter? She's 10 years old.
Yeah, she's actually talked about it. Her first impression was, "See, I told you UFOs exist," when she went home and told her mom. I thought that was like the cutest thing that she said, you know, as a result of it. But she just really, at first, she's like, she thought it was a meteor, just like myself. And when we saw the object fall out of it, neither one of us, you know, could conclude that a meteor would do that. So then we automatically meant, you know, assumed it had to be something that was controlled flight, but controlled by what? Somebody on the ground, somebody predestined the control of it, or something that was trying. It seemed more like, you know, it was unintentionally on fire, and that it seemed like it went out. Now, I don't know if there were two different objects. Like, there's been some presumption that it was the missile trailing the object and that the missile was actually trying to hit the object. The missile is what's seen below the object, and the object pulled up to get away from the missile, which is not.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guests this evening, Sam Maranto and Brandon Tudor, and we're talking about this very strange thing in the sky that Brandon saw. Now, Brandon, let me clarify where this took place. It's in the state of Illinois. It's at Oswego. Where is that in relationship to Chicago?
It's about a 50-minute drive west of Chicago, southwest-ish.
Okay, 50 minutes west, southwest. All right, now, Sam, you've had a chance to take a look at this. You've talked with Brandon. You've had a chance to take a look at this picture. You've had a chance to sort of analyze it a little bit and come to some sort of conclusion. And, folks, Sam is a long-time, highly regarded UFO investigator. You've seen his work and him. on television and in several documentaries. And so, Sam, what do you think about this?
Well, I met with Brandon, and we looked at the photo together, and what I saw when he enhanced it was this unique spiraling that seems to be much different than that of a contrail from a jet, and it seemed to be more akin to a missile. So I looked at it, and I thought, well, maybe there was this object that moved off that he's seen was actually the target, and something was shot at it. And to reinforce that thought was the jets appearing that seemed to be not commercial and circling back. Then the military and police being out there to in that vicinity, cordoning off an area. Now, the case is still under investigation, and I will be getting more information on this. But that's where it is now. So,
okay, now let me ask you about the picture now.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a missile, now this is pretty curious, because this missile, would appear, is coming from above and headed down. It's headed toward the ground. At least that's what it looks like in the picture. Now, it's hard to tell on a flat picture, because from one perspective of it is that this thing is headed at an angle down toward the ground. From another perspective, it could be traveling across the sky away from me at an angle. So, Brandon, what was it?
I would say it was the latter. It was maintaining altitude, going further away, quite possibly at a degree, a few degrees, towards the Earth. In other words, going down. But when an object moves off away from you, it is always going down, even if it's maintaining altitude. The ground goes up. The object, even though it's maintaining altitude, appears to go down, and you're absolutely correct.
Okay, well, what about this secondary bit of light out in front of it? What's that?
That, as you can see, the time of day, and it was in the west. Actually, the first time I saw the picture, I immediately looked at it and said, oh, well, it's just the fuselage of a plane being illuminated, and that's just a contrail. Well, on closer examination and reading the report, no, that wouldn't be the case. Yet the object, the other object in front of it, may very well be a fuselage being lit up by the setting sun much further away.
If you don't mind me interjecting really quickly, I just wanted to validate something. The original photo, the object in front falling, doesn't really appear to be lit up. Somebody had edited that photo that had nothing to do with me, and it wasn't even the newspaper. The original newspaper that had published it did not edit it that way. Somebody else had edited that and brought, like, contrast up on it, and it appeared to be lit up. So I'm not entirely positive whether that front falling object in front of it was lit up.
Okay, so from your point of view, Brandon, the story here is does not include that secondary object.
The secondary object, one that I saw, I never actually saw that secondary object.
Okay.
However, I did see it in my photo, and in my photo, the original photo, it's not lit up. It's a black object falling in front of it. Somebody had edited that photo and brought up the contrast or something, which then it appeared lit up.
Okay, fair enough.
And somebody actually edited that photo and put it into a contest for something, and they took my photo and they cropped it, changed it,
uh-huh.
And they tried to put it into, like, a photo contest. But that's not the original photo. That's somebody that pirated my photo and put it out there.
Okay. Yeah, well, I got it off of the Internet, so I guess I've got the pirated version. All right, now let me ask you, if this is a missile that's leaving this trail of smoke in a spiral shape, do you think that the black spherical object would have been the target, as Sam suggested?
Yeah, absolutely. Like that, when I first saw it, that was not the conclusion I came to, just because it was all happening so fast that I did not see the sphere coming down in the smoke.
Yeah.
But based on looking at the photo and analyzing it and really thinking about it, the object that I saw pull off, it is absolutely possible that that object in front of it falling would be the missile that it had missed. And Sam had brought up a good point that even, you know, military jets will fly downward and then pull off in an effort to misdirect the missile, either fly it into the ground or whatever. So that would definitely make sense with everything that is in the photo, even the part that I didn't see with my own eye.
All right. Now, let's talk about missiles over the USA. I cannot say, and you are not saying, neither one of you are saying, that this is, in fact, a missile that we're looking at. However, what we can say is that on Thursday last week, there was a launch from the Phoenix area, at least according to KPHO News out there, who talked with the National Guard out there. They say that the National Guard confirmed to them there was a launch. That's all they would say about it. We also have two good witnesses and video of that. The interesting thing about this video is there was something in this video that neither one of the witnesses saw with the naked eye. Now, you have to understand, and I'm going to get Sam to comment on this. You have to understand, both of these guys are Bigfoot hunters, okay? I mean, they go out doing Bigfoot research. That's where they had been. They both had high-definition cameras. They both got out of the car and shot this, each with his camera. So we have video from two different cameras. This shows up in both videos. And what it is the contrail of the missile, as the missile actually has stopped leaving a contrail because it has now entered the stratosphere where there's not enough moisture and air pressure for a contrail. So right about where that contrail stops, a UFO appears. It just sort of fades into view. It hangs around the contrail for a little while and floats off a little bit to the left. Hangs around over there for a while, then it floats a little to the left and fades out of view. And so I asked the question, do you think the UFO was the target? And they did not seem to think so, because the missile was already into the stratosphere when the UFO appears around the contrail. So, Sam, what do we know about UFOs hanging around missile launches and things like that?
I think Robert or Bob Jacobs would be able to tell about his experience while shooting some gun footage of a missile launch, and that was out of north or west of Edwards Air Force Base, and it was going to be a nuclear-tipped missile, and there was a UFO that was seen around it in the footage that shot a beam into it and made it tumble out of its trajectory. So that's just one account. There's multiple accounts of interferences of UFOs, especially with nuclear-tipped or potentially nuclear-tipped missiles.
this one from this UFO in, pardon me, the footage from Phoenix appears to be pulsating. Is that common?
Sure, you could see a pulsating UFO is mm-hmm. just going, I would say, just going through a various stage of flux. So, of course, yeah, you could have that. The other thing is it may be energizing for a discharge of a beam of energy, say a plasma beam or some type of laser. So that could be just charging up or, you know, a state of flux. One thing I did want to interject real quick so I didn't forget, and Brandon, if you don't mind, I'm going to take the lead on this and qualify this and watch my verbiage. Our thought in thinking out what was going, why this may have been a scenario mm-hmm. where a missile was shot at a unidentified aerial phenomena, UFO, whatever you want to call it, was because there is a sensitive area that is in and around there, and security guards came and contacted Brandon regarding sightings at the sensitive facility. And this wouldn't be the first time that I heard about this, but it just so happened the incidents during this period of time have really gone over the edge. Wouldn't that be correct, Brandon?
This is absolutely correct.
Okay, Brandon, we got to know, you got to tell us now. Sam has opened up a can of worms here, so we've got a fish with it. Security guards from this facility, and is it a military facility?
It's a DOE facility.
Okay. Security guards from this facility came and talked with you?
They actually spoke with me over the phone and via email.
And what did they have to say to you?
They had quite a bit to say, actually, about their theory as to where these objects are coming from, originating at, or where their area of interest lies. They don't know which that happens to be, but they do know that the people that are in charge of that particular facility are aware of it and give order. At first, when the objects first started appearing, they went to react to the situation, and they said that it was under control and not to worry about it. One of the security guards actually attempted to contact the family and friends, let them know what was going on, because it was freaking out. And the phones in the facility were actually disconnected and unable to make calls in or out of the area.
All right. Stay right there, folks, on the edge of your seats, and we'll be back right after this. Got good taste, what can I say? All right, you are listening to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Sam Maranto and Brandon Tudor. Sam Maranto, a longtime, well-known, well-respected UFO investigator. Brandon Tudor is a guy who saw this strange event in the skies over the state of Illinois, about 50 minutes drive to the southwest of Chicago. And he took a picture of it. We've been looking at that picture tonight and talking about it. And when we went to break, Brandon, you were talking about the people at this facility that actually called you and wanted to know, did they want to know information, or were they giving you information?
They just wanted to give me information. They saw the article about what I had seen and felt like they knew exactly where this was originating and wanted to let me know what was going on. They didn't want any publicity for it. They didn't want any recognition. They didn't want any information. Just wanted to give me the
What did they think about where this is originating?
At this particular facility, there's, I don't know how much information that, like, I can say, but
I would keep it, we'd keep it real because of the sensitivity of it and their jobs. We should just keep it pretty soon.
Okay, well, let me ask it this way. Do they think it's originating from space or from Earth?
This is the fun part. Yeah, it could be either. There's some well-known information that's actually taking place currently that is happening in this area, and they think that as a result of this, it's either originating there because of this, or it's interested in what's happening and coming there to figure out what's going on or just kind of observe what's going on.
Okay.
There may be a dimensional aspect to this.
Hmm. Well, you know, you would think if it's a dimensional aspect that a missile would not be very effective against it. At least I would think that. What do you think, Sam?
It depends on, you know, understanding the states of matter. You know, anything from a gas, liquid, solid, plasma, or flux. And I'm sure there's many more that we have no idea about. That anything exploding may very well disturb the frequencies and waves. Therefore, a cause effect is probable. And I think, you know, we had the episodes of the shoot 'em down order in the 1950s where we did knock UFOs out of the air. We did bring them down. We did damage them. And there was retaliation. Now, if these are completely in this dimension, it may have a different type of effect than if it's just partially in. It's just popping in, let's say.
That video from Phoenix, the UFO just sort of fades into existence there. And after it's through kind of looking around, it fades out of existence.
Yes. But it may very well have been there all the time. It's just what we're perceiving.
Mm-hmm.
2 days ago, I had another case come in, and if you don't mind, just I'm going to throw this in here.
Yeah, please.
This is a security, person, and it wasn't security, but law enforcement and Homeland Security. Told me that he was out with his daughter, had seen through his night vision an orb that he was not able to see except through the night vision or third generation, and it was a translucent orb. It moved intelligently, and it moved between the houses, and I guess went through by the river. And he had asked if I ever heard of such a thing, and I have. So, in other words, the infrared or ultraviolet range is where we're really getting some very good results on observing unidentified aerial phenomena, UFOs. So, that object may very well have been there, but as far as us perceiving it or having it rendered in the footage, you know, it just wasn't in that wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the question isn't whether or not we're actually able to disrupt the flight path of this particular object. That doesn't matter if we try to or not, is the question. We don't know what actually hit the ground. It could have been the missile, it could have been the object. I would actually assume it was probably the missile that hit the ground, which would explain the military interest.
Well, yeah, it would. They would have to go clean up the trash from the crash. Little poetry there, the trash from the crash. But they would have to go tend to that, especially, you know, if we launched it, then they got to go clean up the mess. Here's the thing that comes to my mind, though. Let's say this is a missile. Now, we don't know for sure, and as I stated earlier, neither one of you is saying for sure that this is a missile. But let's, correct, for the sake of argument, we'll say it's a missile. And we had one last week launched in Phoenix, and that one was a confirmed launch. What the heck is going on that we're launching missiles around the country?
I think we are engaging them, possibly. The reason why is we have had so much activity out here, and I'm getting reports from all over the place, not just here in Illinois. Had another witness who had seen multiple sightings 2 years ago call me and said that he had seen something similar to what Brandon saw. So, and that was 2 days, I think, what did I tell you, 2 days before or after, something like that, right? So,
okay, so what was the date of Brandon's sighting?
6th of March, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't have the date in front of me. I know it was at 5:55. Yeah, 6th of March. It was a Sunday? Yeah.
It was on a Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been on the 8th.
Was that
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You said March. I was thinking May.
March.
This was in March. Okay. So this happened before the Phoenix event. Okay. Do you know, Sam, has anyone around the state, because you talk to people all over the state, has anybody around the state said they heard the launch?
No.
You would think they would.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I haven't heard anything. I know people in Arizona, I know the area pretty much, that this was, I didn't hear anything. And I didn't hear anything as far as jets, anybody saying, hearing jets release, a battery of, or a rocket or multiple rockets.
Well, in the Arizona case, Alex Hearn, one of the witnesses, it's very, very sparsely populated out around this launch site. But he did interview some residents that are not too far from the launch site that heard the launch.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, they said that the next 24 hours after that, they heard several more launches from out there.
Now, see, that really gets my curiosity piqued. What on earth is going on?
Yeah, well, that's the big mystery, isn't it? And concomitant with that mystery is this mystery. Why isn't the news media all over this? And I know they know about it because Alex Hearn informed them. We'll be back right after this. To the Kevin Smith Show. My guests this evening, Sam Maranto and Brandon Tudor. We're talking about UFOs and missiles. Sam, you asked the question, what in the world is going on? Now, you're getting reports of other events that look, sound, smell, and taste like missile launches. Is that right?
Well, I had two of them, and that's two more than I would normally have.
Okay, well, that's 200% more then.
Yeah.
And, nobody can say with certainty that they are missile launches. Well, somebody can, but they're not. But this one out in Phoenix was. And, you know, but look, it's curious that there are all of these things happening that, like I said, they look, sound, feel, smell, and taste like a missile launch from around the country. That's curious. It's more than curious that we're not hearing anything about this on the news. Now, I keep talking about the one in Phoenix, but it's a good example. Here is one that's verified to have been a launch. And one of the witnesses, Alex Hearn, notified every news agency, every TV news and radio news in Phoenix, and provided them with the video. He's from Boston originally, so he notified all the stations in Boston. But then nationally, he notified, he said, like CNN, Fox, you know, ABC, CBS, all the national news. He notified them. Nobody except one local station picked up the ball. What's up with that?
Did somebody have their thumb on it? Was there a standing order to not talk about this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when there's a black hole in the information, you got to wonder what's in the middle of the black hole.
True.
I don't know. The black hole in the information is screaming that there's something to this.
How many times did they say they heard other potential liftoffs there?
Well, I asked that, and Alex said, you know, I didn't ask them how many. Mm-hmm. But they heard several.
Wow.
They heard multiple launches. And that would have been between Thursday and Friday night last week.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and you don't launch from Phoenix to hit a target anywhere on the planet, so far as we know. But that's a big caveat right there. So far as we know, you know, cruise missiles would not have the range to go from Phoenix to Yemen, or any place else over there, unless they're highly modified and new versions that we don't know about. And cruise missiles they don't look like the bottom of a 727 with swept-backed wings. So I don't know. It's quite mysterious.
One thing we did have was, in and around that time, numerous reports of other blazing objects coming in. And this is what I forgot to tell you about, Brandon. There was a report from Tinley Park of an object. And the woman, in fact, there were multiple reports. She watched it come over the house, and very fast, by the time she got to the window, it was gone. And I felt that this was part of an asteroid that had a near-Earth orbit, and part of this actually crashed into a island in the Philippines, causing a seismic event and a fire. And I'm under the assumption that's what it was, or else it's some type of space debris, or who knows what. But this was also in or around that time.
You know, the odds of something like a big rock coming from outer space and hitting an island?
Yeah.
The odds are, to use a pun, astronomical. I mean, because that's like hitting the head of a pin.
Then it could have been a controlled crash, possibly.
I don't know. I mean, it could happen. I'm not saying it could not happen. It could happen. But it just seems a little bit... I know, the probability just seems a little bit astronomical there. Brandon, have you ever seen anything like this before?
I've had experiences, nothing visually speaking, other than when I was a little kid, as far as that vivid of a object in the sky. I have seen other things that I wasn't able to catch a picture of that just seemed odd, but this is probably the most specific event that's ever taken place.
And this happened in full daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And your daughter's impression of it was it's a UFO.
Oh, absolutely. She was actually very excited about it. I mean, at first, like I said, we both just thought, hey, look, we just caught a meteor. Like, that's really cool. And then when we saw it actually direction, I was like, wow, that's definitely not a meteor. And we got pretty excited about it. And then the trail left behind and all that. If it is a missile, I mean, it very well could have been a missile chasing that object or trailing that object. That's awesome. But the fact that the object itself pulled away from that, was able to change direction, like, that's amazing.
Sam, have you had a lot of reports like this of I know you said you've had several of these fireball reports,
yes,
flaming object reports. What about them changing direction? That doesn't sound typical to me.
No, I've actually personally seen, say, for instance, Brandon alluded to the green fireballs, the meteors that they refer to as the green fireballs. There's also been UFO activity associated with these green fireballs. I've seen three of them, and the ones that I saw, one could very well have just been a meteor. Two definitely changed direction and did a 90 degree instead of coming down at the angle. It actually darn near stopped and came down, and it was remarkable. The other one changed direction. So I've heard, you know, in many of these, like the orange orbs that people refer to as, you know, ball lightning, and it's not. It's the large orange orbs, which are not Chinese lanterns.
Are you sure about that? I mean, come on. We hear about Chinese lanterns all the time.
Yep. Well, we had 143 of them released by some lady, and this was actually a true story. You may have heard about it on the news, UFOs over Chicago, you know, and this was, I think, April the 2nd. And what had happened was a woman had released these Chinese lanterns, which are incendiaries. You have a block of burning, you know, some burning oil-based something. And they let these things up right by Midway Airport of all the darn places. And this woman shoots video of it with her camera and reports it because it was so odd, and asking, well, what on earth is going on here? And they asked her if she was drinking. Well, why would she be drinking if her camera's taking pictures of something she can't figure out what's going on? The camera's recording it. The camera's not drinking. And they never called the woman up who released these 140-some objects, you know, these incendiaries up into the sky right by the airport in a major metropolitan area, and asked her if she was drinking. You know, and the reason why she done it was for a nonprofit organization, for it to get attention. How absurd.
Oh, well, yeah, but, you know, there are a lot of absurd people on this planet. But, you know, these Chinese wedding candles or lanterns, do you think in Beijing, when there's a UFO report, that they tell their people those are probably American wedding candles?
That's a good one.
I wonder. I think probably the people in China are sitting over there every time they hear this stuff, just chuckling over how stupid can these people be. And let me inform our audience in China, there are no depths of stupidity too deep for some people to plunge to. It's pretty amazing. Okay, now, Sam, let's talk about, you had an incident that happened I think it was called the Kokomo incident. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
I may be remembering it wrong, but didn't this involve a UFO that was damaged somehow?
Yes, we've actually had a few cases like that. Oh boy, there's supposedly there was possibly another crash last year in the western section of Illinois. Put it this way, there's been a lot of activity in Illinois and Indiana. And I don't know if it's because we're so close to Wright Pat. I don't know. Just two states away.
Well, what's causing these UFOs to fall out of the sky? I mean, this is a question that I get asked. It's a question that comes up in our forums. It's a question I get in my emails. If these guys are so smart that they can travel all the way across the galaxy or across the universe to get here, how is it that once they get here, we're able to shoot them down, or they have some kind of malfunction and they crash, but they can travel all the way across the universe to get here? Doesn't make sense. What's the deal with that? How are they getting damaged?
Because the smaller vehicles aren't what they're traveling far distances in. They're probably having multiple stages and sizes and degrees of technology, and probably supporting the larger items, the massive motherships per se, with a greater degree of security versus these smaller pods or craft. Now, also remember in 1941, February 25th, when we had the real Battle of L.A., there was a massive object that was being shot at with no effect. There were direct hits. Yet, supposedly, there were two other smaller objects that were hit and recovered. And that, again, was February 25th, 1941, the real Battle of L.A.
Not to mention the fact these smaller vehicles are most likely tested on an atmosphere that is far different than ours. We have our own field. We're playing on home field advantage. When they test these smaller vehicles and they're taking them off of a much larger mothership onto Earth, Earth isn't perfectly round. Our gravitational pulls differ depending on where they're at on Earth, and that can be taken advantage of by us when we're trying to take these out of the sky.
Well, that's a good thought. All right, so the smaller craft, the ones that everybody calls flying saucers, or a lot of people call them flying saucers, these smaller craft are just sort of expeditionary craft used here, but that's not what they're traveling across the universe in. They're in these massive motherships. So now that brings up this question. There is a guy by the name of John Leonard or Leonard Walson, and Sam, you're probably familiar with him. Brandon, you may also be familiar with him. He has a device that he hooks to his telescope, and he has shot some amazing video of what he says are massive craft way, way out there, but in orbit around Earth. Have you seen those, Sam?
Yes, I have.
Is that what we're talking about, or are those?
I think those are some of them are. Some of them, I think, may also be other spy satellites or just very sophisticated satellites. I don't know, but some of them are. These massive craft, I remember Daryl Sims talking about some Japanese astronomers taking footage of one crossing in front of the moon, and he was telling me the size of it, and it was enormous. I mean,
yeah, it was just over 600 miles long.
Yes, I mean, this is What is that? I mean, that's massive.
So, you know, in a spaceship that's 600 miles long, you can put a whole bunch of little flying saucers.
Oh, yes. See, I'm thinking they come in different stages, not just one massive one sitting there and smaller ones coming out. Only speaking from experience, because from the footage that I've analyzed just from Tinley Park, that object we had out here was well in excess of 1,500 feet and probably less than 5,000. Well, there were multiple.
Wait a minute. Less than 5,000 what?
Feet.
Okay.
So between, I would say, closer to the 5,000-foot range. And we have footage of objects coming in and out of them, and it was observed by multiple witnesses. And this was something I didn't really want to talk about until, you know, there was enough evidence to support it.
Have you ever seen anything like that, Brandon?
I've never seen anything that large, no.
All right, before this event happened, the one that we started out talking about here tonight, the one that you shot a picture of, before it happened, what was your position on UFOs?
I have actually believed in them my entire life. I've had some experiences, like I said, when I was younger. I definitely believe UFOs exist. I was not out looking for UFOs at this particular time. I just happened to be driving down the road. And when I originally saw the object, I didn't think it was a UFO until I saw what it did. But, yeah, no, I definitely believe UFOs exist. I definitely believe that no matter what you believe as far as your religious stance, whether you believe in evolution, whether you believe in whatever, numerically speaking, it's absolutely absurd to think that out of all of the potential chances for life that we're the only one that actually took place, and the fact that we took place when we did, the chances that it happened a lot earlier than us is astronomically probable. And if you're a religious person, I think that it's spoke of within the Bible and every other religion that exists. They talk about some sort of alien interaction or some sort of UFO in the sky or whatever.
Some people, whenever they see a UFO, or they have a very unusual experience, that maybe it's a UFO, maybe it's not, but something that they can't explain. Some people, that's a life-changing experience for them, and they look on it as something very spiritual. Has it affected you that way?
I would say yes. But a long time ago, not the most recent effect. This has happened a lot earlier in my life.
He has had multiple episodes that we were started to talk about, and that I think would be very interesting to talk about. I don't know if we have enough time today.
Yeah. Let's get into that. And as a matter of fact, we can get into it right now. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes here before we go to break.
Okay.
So go ahead.
I mean, starting when I was young, at the time, I absolutely thought that it was an alien, and I've later come to other conclusions and gone back and forth, and I really don't know. The first thing that ever happened to me was when I was younger, and I was in my bedroom. I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I saw a light, like, come into my window when I was sleeping. The fan in my window seemed to be getting louder and louder and louder. And as I was laying there, I started to notice the sound increasing, the light getting brighter and brighter. And I tried to react to it, except my body wouldn't do what I was trying to make it do. And I saw my window open, and I saw an object come through my window and come down about the height of my bed. And it walked around my bed, and I was screaming on the top of my lungs, but nothing was coming out of my mouth. And I was trying to get up and trying to run to my parents, and nothing would happen. And this object, like, had three fingers and reached up from the foot of my bed, grabbed my ankle, and one of my dogs had broke loose and ran up the stairs barking really loud, and the object left the room.
Okay, now wait a minute. Was it an object, or was it a being?
It was, all I could see was the very top of a head. Like, it was below my eyesight because I couldn't turn my head in any direction. And I saw something walking at the foot of my bed, and it reached up in three fingers, so I would say it was a being, grabbed my ankle, and the dog scared it. The object left, or the person, or whatever it was, left, and I was able to get up and run to my parents' room and tell them what happened. And, you know, of course, they just told me that I was sleeping and whatnot, but later in life, this particular instance has come up multiple times from people that didn't know what happened, telling me that they knew that it happened, and telling me that they knew they were able to speak to the thing that did this. And it was, that was the first thing that ever happened to me, and it happened a long time ago, so I've always wanted to do some sort of, like, regressional gnosis to kind of remember exactly what happened. We've seen a light land on the ground when I was younger, and we went out, like, were able to actually see where this light had hit the ground. All the grass in the middle of a field had been flipped up and turned over and burnt, and it was exactly where we saw the object land. We tried to get our parents to come out there and look at it, but nobody was really interested at the time in going out there with us.
Yeah, it's sort of like getting the news media to cover a missile launch.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've done a lot of investigating. I've been more interested in my life in, like, the paranormal as far as, like, ghosts and demons and things like that, because they're easier to control a investigation. You know, you can go out to an area that you know happens to be haunted. It's difficult to go to an area that you know happens to be visited by aliens, because how often does that actually happen? But it's definitely something. I mean, I've had a lot of things happen in my life, and I'm very critical as to what I believe and what I don't believe as far as evidence, but things have happened, and I feel as though, like, for whatever reason, I've either been marked or, you know, something has happened that has caused me to be more perceptible to this information.
All right. Let me ask you this. Has all of this, all of these encounters, have they caused you to have nightmares over a prolonged period of time?
Actually, I had a lot of nightmares when I was younger about this, and I ended up getting in martial arts, and for whatever reason, after I got into martial arts, the nightmares kind of ceased. I don't know if it was a confidence thing, what, but I was able to control my dreams to the point that if things happened, I was able to actually, you know, control what was happening. I was able to walk around and make whatever was happening stop.
Mm-hmm.
So those nightmares have kind of gone away.
A lot of, and that's a good thing, lots and lots and lots of people who have some type of otherworldly encounter, whether it's with a ghost, a Mothman, a UFO, an extraterrestrial, Sasquatch, but something that is, from their perspective, an otherworldly encounter. Lots of them report having nightmares, and in fact, a lot of the symptoms that they talk about are very similar to the PTSD that soldiers sometimes suffer, the post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
But you didn't have any of that, huh?
No, other than if people said what they had, what they dreamed.
All right. We have to step away for a break. We'll get the answer to that question when we come back. Don't go away. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guests this evening, Sam Maranto and Brandon Tudor. Brandon, I had asked you if you had suffered any of the symptoms that are very similar to PTSD suffered by some soldiers returning from war zones, and you had just started to answer and the break took over. So what's the answer to that?
The only thing that I could say that would be considered PTSD is the fact that I couldn't control my body. I think that is a symptom of it. I don't know, like, from my memory, from what happened to me, and I was very young, so, you know, how good is your memory at the time, but I think I was awake. I think in a half-awake state, like, I knew what was happening. I was waiting to be able to move, and it wasn't until that object left that I was able to move. Some people have told me that that would be a symptom of that, like something had happened earlier, and I was, like, recurring the event in my head. But I don't know. Like, other than that, no, I don't suffer from any of those things.
Sam, have you ever seen a UFO?
Oh, I've had at least 5, 6, maybe 7 instances.
You ever had any close encounters?
Yes, for a long period of time.
You want to tell us about it?
Not really, but since about, I think it was about 58, about 1959, I had close encounters. But I really don't want to get into that.
Has it marked you?
Yes.
Do you find that to be a common thing among people who have had these close encounters?
Sure. The post-traumatic stress disorder, and, you know, I think what Brandon was describing could easily be mistaken as having these episodes at night where you have you're so afraid that your body protects itself by being frozen in place, nocturnal paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not necessarily the case. If he had something in the room and something chasing it, his dog, so there is clearly not a case of paralysis. Something was going on. Now, one thing I do see a lot of, and I'm seeing more so than ever, and I just had a case this last week where a daughter of a woman who had seen twice UFOs, one very close, a massive triangular object over a cornfield, and this is an area of southeast Illinois that's getting multiple sightings out there from many different witnesses. And this young girl, 10 years old, had seen an object again recently, just a week ago. And here's this object in a cornfield, a brilliant, again, orangish light with red, very, very brilliant. And it shoots straight up, takes off, and then goes off towards the northwest. Clearly not a balloon or something like that.
Mm. Not an American wedding candle.
American wedding candle. Yeah. But she just had to go to see a counselor slash, psychiatrist just recently because the poor woman doesn't know what to do. She's really having a hard time sleeping, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing is, she knows this is real now. So when she's going to a counselor or somebody's trying to tell her, no, these things don't exist, she can't buy that. She was there with multiple witnesses on two occasions seeing these things. They do exist, period.
Well, now, what I'm about to say, I don't want anybody to misconstrue. I'm not unsympathetic. I am sympathetic with people who do have these post-experience, we'll say, disturbances. People that for whatever reason, it really shakes up their life. I'm sympathetic with that. But at the same time that I say that, I have to say that I don't understand why it would shake up someone's life. And I have had fairly close encounters. Years ago, this would be in the 1990s, my first wife and our three children, myself, we're all in our little minivan, and we're headed out through the countryside. We're on a country road. It's paved. But there's a field on the right and a field on the left. One of my sons says, "Hey, look," and points out over a field. And sure enough, there's a triangular craft, big, and it's just sitting there. So I stopped, and we all looked at it, and I think we even got out of the car, and we're standing there looking at it. It was not a long ways away from us. It was close, and it was low, and very low, as a matter of fact. At that time, I flew a private airplane from time to time, and I did not make a habit of flying that low. So that'll give you an idea. It was very low. No noise. It hovered there for a while. It was not something rapid. It was there for a while. And when it took off towards the northeast. And it was not like, it didn't just go from zero to out of sight. It wasn't that fast. It accelerated, but it accelerated faster than any aircraft I had ever seen. And very quickly was out of sight. My wife at the time, my three kids, myself, our reaction to that was, man, that was cool. And I'm not aware of any of us having any kind of disturbances in our life as a result of that. And that's why I say, while I'm not unsympathetic, my experience has not been that it's upsetting or disturbing. And I wonder, for what reason would it be? I don't know. What do you think?
It has to do with the paradigm shift. If a person is steadfast in their beliefs or has a very, very sheltered existence, the more they're going to be disturbed. You have somebody with a very rigid grasp on what they feel is the reality. When they see something like that, they're really startled, and it does shake them up. Myself, the crafts I have seen are these unidentified flying objects or UAPs weren't so startling as the entities themselves and interacting with them. That is what I was startled by.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most witnesses, that seems to be the scenario. I don't see too much of loving encounters with beings. That's a rare, it's usually fear first, and if not always, and then coming to terms with that. Though there have been, you know, I've had some talk about, you know, angelic encounters, etc. Those are rare and in between.
Okay. Now, of all of the many, many people over the years that you've talked to related to encounters with these beings, have you interviewed people who have actually told you that they were harmed by these beings?
Oh, sure. I mean, we have cases with physical effects, implants. Just last week had a case, a gentleman called me from Texas who knew me, and Nevada, an orb. Orbs of light were coming through the wall, which had happened to him at his prior residence. But this time he decided to touch one, and he ended up with a massive blister on his index finger. His middle finger, excuse me. And they had to open it up and remove the blister, and he had other damage to the flesh. So, I mean, physical damage, implants, we've had...
Okay, but that was him touching the orb. That wasn't him being attacked by the orb.
No, he touched it. In fact, I don't recommend people touching things like that, especially these orbs. Some of them are pretty nasty.
Okay, but what about, I mean, we hear reports from people who tell us that they've had these encounters with extraterrestrials, and that these extraterrestrials were all very kind and sweet and benevolent and so forth. And then we have reports from people who tell us that they were really nasty, and there was physical confrontation and so forth. So we get both ends of the extreme. What I'm wondering, though, is have you talked with people who have actually been attacked by these extraterrestrials are have been actually harmed by the extraterrestrial doing something to them.
I think what they feel more so is the fact that they have no control over the scenario. The other thing is an invasion of privacy. In many, many instances...
Well, that sounds like getting a visit from a government agent.
Now, that pertain to implants and their most personal locations. So this is where they feel violated. And the stress from that's pretty heavy.
All right, so then who's right? Stephen Hawking, when he says, we need to leave these guys alone. They, you know, if they're out there, we don't need to broadcast to them and let them know we're here because it might not be good for us. Is he right, or is Billy Meyer right when he says these guys are okay, they're cool, they're not going to hurt you?
I think they both are, and I think what it comes down to is anything out there has, everything out there may have an agenda. It's just where do we fit into the spectrum and our degree of comfort with that place in their agenda. And that could change. There may be things out there that find us quite delectable. There may be things out there that find us entertaining and enjoyable. There are other things out there that we may be chattel to. We may belong to them. And on and on and on and on. It's the problem is not so much them. It's going back to the who we are, what we are, and why we are. If we had indications or answers to those questions, I think this would no longer be a matter of national security.
Okay. Again, you didn't say that this event that Brandon witnessed was a missile. Brandon, you haven't said it was a missile. I have said, let's assume it was, just for the sake of talk. Because it does have kind of a spiral exhaust plume behind it. We're going to step away for a break. Now, when we come back, and this will give you a little bit of time here where you can consider what you want to answer, but I want to hear from both of you on this, okay? Let's consider that we'll say that this was a missile. We know the one in Phoenix was a missile of some kind, and there was a UFO around the plume very high up. So just for the sake of argument, we're going to say that somebody's firing missiles at these UFOs. So when we come back, I want to know this. Do you think, whether they are benevolent or not benevolent, do you think it's smart for us to be firing weapons at these UFOs? We'll be back right after this. Listening to the Kevin Smith Show, my guests Sam Maranto and Brandon Tudor. Gentlemen, we went to break with a question, you've had time to think about it. Let's start with Brandon. Brandon, you think it's smart for anybody on the earth to be firing any kind of weapons at UFOs, whether they're benevolent or hostile? Hello, Brandon. Okay, I guess we lost Brandon. Sam? What do you think?
Well, I personally feel that we already had our lesson learned back in the 50s, and I think we're still learning that when we encounter these things, more times than not, we lose. So unless you're on par with the technology, and, you know, the only thing you're doing is going to tick them off.
Well, you either, if you're on par with technology, the only way to win is to be ahead of them in the way you think. And if you're not ahead of them in the way you think, then you have to be ahead of them in technology. I think we lose on both counts.
Yes.
Now, if they're hostile and you shoot at them, you're going to get retaliation and problems. But if they're benevolent, they have benevolent intentions, and you shoot at them, you can turn them into an enemy instantaneously out of their own self-defense.
I would think so. We've had experiences, say, for instance, at missile bases where they've been fired upon. And during the 50s, this whole shoot them down order. Frank Fraschino's book is very good, and I just can't believe how ignorant it would have been to engage these objects if they were not, in fact, doing any harm.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the problem, and I'm going to speak in defense of those who gave the orders to shoot at the UFOs, although I don't think it's smart to do it, in defense of them, if they hadn't done so, and then the UFO attacked a city or did something else very hostile, everyone would have said, well, that general was lax in his duties, all these people died because of him, and so forth. So the problem then is the fear of the possibility of an attack can cause you to launch an attack. Okay, so you launch the attack, and the UFO that wasn't planning on shooting shoots back. Only what they shoot back is really powerful high-tech stuff, and a lot of people die. And then you get, well, this general was rash in his judgment. It was not a good decision. He shouldn't have shot at this thing. So, you know, these guys are damned if they do and damned if they don't.
Oh, sure. Well, especially if you have a standing order to engage, then what do you do? You have a standing order, you engage.
Where would such a standing order come from?
Assumably, it was Air Force. And they had a standing order in the 50s.
Okay, but where did that come from? Who in the Air Force gave that order, or did it come from the president?
Wasn't the president. I forget who it was from exactly. I'll find out. But it was a standing order, and they did engage. Many pilots were lost, but they did bring down UFOs. So I think the Flatwoods Monster was one of the UFOs that was actually damaged, and that actually flew over Washington and came up the coast, and hence we had the story of the Flatwood Monster, which wasn't a monster, but some sort of extraterrestrial being in a type of small vehicle.
It was kind of, that vehicle, as I understood the description, was sort of a canister shaped.
Yes, it was.
I have seen one of those.
Really?
Over Phoenix. Pardon me.
Looking like a Dixie cup upside down?
No, it actually looked like a gigantic barrel. Pardon me.
Okay.
A gigantic barrel. it was silver, but it was gleaming. I assume it's because of the sun reflecting off of it. It was gleaming sort of a reddish color.
Yep.
But and it was big, and it was very high, and it was right above downtown Phoenix. At the time, I was a senior security officer at the Civic Center. And the Civic Complex, it was a whole bunch of stuff there. But right directly above downtown Phoenix, this thing was up there. It was up there for a long time, and it was very high.
Yeah, that's a common shape. The Dixie cup one is the other one, and if you take a Dixie cup and turn it upside down,
mm-hmm.
The other thing in the Arizona area, well, pretty much everywhere, but Arizona especially, is the barbell shape.
I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Also above downtown Phoenix.
And they're depicted in petroglyphs that go back 13-plus thousand years all around the area.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I've seen those, too. So, you know, we're almost out of time, but let me sort of get into this. You've brought up these petroglyphs and the fact that these things are seen frequently over Phoenix. Jeff Woolline out in Phoenix is of the opinion that these are living creatures rather than vehicles. And he's done a lot of research into. He's got the site called petroglyphsinthesky.com, and he's got lots of videos of these things, and he's done lots and lots of research into the history and prehistory of the Phoenix area, and he's come to the conclusion that these, rather than being vehicles, are living creatures. What do you think of that?
It's not so far-fetched, though you could take, we have to understand, well, what is a living creature? A human body, any body, is a vessel, and it is a vessel for consciousness. I'm thinking that these objects may very well be vessels for consciousness. So just by that definition alone, not necessarily being biological, they can be
like a living machine.
Yes. So I mean, it's not all that far-fetched. There's that whole area of the truly unusual interdimensional phenomena and what we refer to as UFOs in and about that area, I think is probably the best area to do research is there.
At around the Phoenix area.
Absolutely. I mean,
I've seen a lot of stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, Sam, we're out of time. But
here and do more research, and I just think it's a great area. We have areas here, too.
Yeah. Sam, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being my guest this evening, and I guess we lost Brandon during that last break. But be sure and thank him for me as well. Fascinating information. And I wish you well. I know you've got an upcoming presentation very early in the morning. I'm not sure if it's tomorrow morning, but I know you have to do a presentation that's at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's early. All right, folks. My sinuses, my allergies have kicked in, but I didn't die on air tonight. And we got all the way through it with Sam Maranto. He was not the cause of my problem. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.